Marcus, Marcus Hunter Neal, he's becoming a heck of a deal. He's playing a piano, he's eating a banana. Marcus Hunter Neal on Radio Ulster.
You're listening to my lovely self here on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Radio Foyle, Marcus Hunter Neal, and I'm so lucky to be joined by the Queen of Evening Television, the Queen of Morning Television, the Queen of British Television. It is Fern Britton.
Marcus.
Hello.
That's just a lovely introduction and I love it. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
How are you looking today? Because I've only seen photographs of you and you look so gorgeous. How are you looking today?
Well, I always do spring, summer, I do nautical, and autumn, winter, I do country gent. So right now I've got a little sailor top on, shorts and flip-flops. Because I'm just back from Nice.
Oh my goodness. How fantastic.
And what are you wearing?
Well, I'm in a one of those Dayglow fluoro bikinis.
Perfect.
And I've got a lovely blonde mermaid wig on and very high stilettos with wedged heels, wedged soles.
That is just what you need when you're running from studio to studio to do interviews.
Yeah, I wanted to be comfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. And I hope you are.
I am.
So you're running from studio to studio because you're promoting a wonderful new book. Your sixth new book.
I know.
That is so exciting.
It's mad.
You are the Sunday Times top 10 bestseller as well.
Well, I've been very lucky, Marcus, because over the last 6-7 years that I've been writing, every book has been in the top 10, and I'm so, you know, just amazed and thrilled and can't thank anybody who's bought a book more. I'd like to go around to their houses and say thank you, you know. It's really amazing.
So what is it that you think about your writing that talks to people?
Golly, I don't know. All I just think is, well, if it makes me laugh and I'm interested,
yes,
perhaps it will interest someone else and make them laugh too.
The Postcard.
Mm-hmm.
Penny, TV producer, she's married to a vicar, and then sort of things start to unravel a little bit,
yes,
in the lovely Cornish town.
Yes, I've written about her in a couple of other books, and although she wasn't the main character, but this time I thought, I need to revisit her background, which I didn't know until I started writing it. But she came from a very difficult time. She's forward thinking. She's very feminist. She's out there. She's had unsuitable boyfriends, some of whom have been married. She's
haven't
had her heart broken. Well, yeah. You know, she's lived her life and had her regrets, and then fell in love with the most unusual person she could, who was the local vicar, who just adores her and doesn't mind her background or anything about her. And she moves into the vicarage in this lovely little village in Cornwall. And she also is a television producer who has her own production company. And she bought up a series of books which are all set in a Cornish village. And so she's using her village as the backdrop when the film crew comes to film. And when she gets married to the vicar, she doesn't think she's going to get pregnant because she's maybe 44-ish, but she does. And they have a little daughter. And so her life is complete. She has a successful show. She has a baby. She has a wonderful husband. She lives in a great part of the world in Cornwall. And then things start to implode. Her television series is cancelled by the television company. She doesn't know it, but actually she's got postnatal depression with the baby, which is, of course, making her horrible to her husband. She's difficult to live with. And then she hears that her estranged mother has died. And her estranged sister, who stayed with the mother and turned against Penny, wants to befriend Penny again and come back into her life. And so she's got a lot of challenges on her plate, and it's how she deals with them.
So you have worked in the television industry for over 25 years.
36 years.
36 years?
Mm.
My goodness, you actually look like you should only be working in about 5 years.
I like
especially
you very
much.
Especially
in that mermaid fishtail, you know?
It's good, isn't it? I'm swishing it now to show you.
Perfect. So Penny, TV producer, is she loosely based on anybody? You don't have to name names, but do you know somebody along those lines? Or
yes.
Where did the inspiration come from?
Yes, a very, very old friend of mine who's, I've known her since the beginning when we both started in 1980, and she's become a very successful director. And so she's loosely based on her in her look, and her personality in terms of her humour and things. But it's not her, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
She was my starting point.
Yeah.
And so I like her. I like Penny very much because I like my friend. Yeah.
36 years in the industry and you haven't lost your spark and you're still as fun and energetic as always. You know what I love, and this is going to sound a little bit gushy for you, but sometimes it's nice to hear. What I love about watching you and is your love for life and your laughter. I just think that it's such a wonderful thing to watch somebody laugh and have fun on television.
Well, that is a lovely thing to say, and thank you, because, you know, there's plenty of tears in life and there's plenty of anxiety and sleepless nights. And so if you can't laugh at some stuff, you know, what is the point, really? Yeah. You've got to laugh. And when I was doing this morning with Philip, there was one morning when we got a letter from somebody who had been very seriously depressed. And this letter said that they had been sitting at the kitchen table with all the pills lined up on the edge of the table and a bottle of whiskey. And they turned on the television and started watching This Morning. And Philip and I were laughing about something that was probably lavatorial five-year-old humour.
Dunking beef?
Yes, dunking the beef, absolutely. And then this person said, you know, I started to laugh.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, if I can laugh, perhaps I'll be all right.
Yes.
And he put it all down the loo. So isn't that fantastic?
See, it's amazing because you don't realise just, and especially the same thing as working in television, radio, you don't see the people that are listening or are getting touched by your words. And there's a great guy over here called Hugo Duncan, and he's just a great character. And people tune in specifically just for his fun and his banter. Yeah. And there are people who are blind who don't get out of their houses. There's people who are bedridden, and they tune in because he's their link to the outside world, and it's amazing, and you really do touch lives in such a big way.
Which is very important, Marcus. You and I and others like us have this incredible job, which is not really working. Don't tell anybody, but it is actually having a lot of fun as well. Yes, you've got to be professional about it, but we're having fun. And when I very first started all those years ago, somebody said to me, never, never say you're not well, you're tired, you've got a cold or a headache.
No.
Because the people watching you think that you are in La La Land and they really have problems, so shut up.
Yeah.
And that is the greatest piece of advice I was ever given. And also that every interview is nothing to do with you, it's about the person you're talking to.
Exactly. And I'm very lucky to be chatting to
Dream guest. Nice segue. I like that.
So I also have to say, Ready, Steady, Cook, I think watching that, coming home from school and watching that is what made
from
me.
From school, poor boy.
I know.
Did I teach you how to count from 10 to 1 backwards? Yeah.
Not quite. But you did teach me how to do cooking for a fiver. But I think watching you, I was like, I would love to do that. The Big Breakfast and Ready, Steady, Cook and This Morning were the reasons why I wanted to get into the media.
Really? The Big Breakfast was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were a bit of a trailblazer in your day as well, because you were the youngest ever newsreader on morning television.
Actually it was for BBC Breakfast, used to be called Breakfast Time when it started in 1982, I think. And Frank Boff was presenting it with Selena Scott. And I was one of the newsreaders. I shared it with a lady called Debbie Ricks. And I was 23, 4, something like that. And then the lunchtime, BBC Lunchtime National News, took me over there as well, and I did those bulletins, and I was the youngest.
Good for you. You see, it's always better to be a shepherd than a sheep. Trail the way. Isn't that right?
Well, I suppose so, but it can be awfully exhausting to have to keep leading the way. Sometimes to be a sheep and look up someone else's bum is quite nice.
Well, it is, but then it's not a very nice scent. Sure it's not. Listen, baby. Wow.